Today, we start to explain about the third paragraph for the Heart Sutra. The third paragraph of the Heart Sutra can be divided into seven parts. The first part of it is started from the Sariputra. All the things are in the void of the absolute awakeness that is not created, nor annihilated, not impure, nor pure, not increasing, nor decreasing. Because this part of the Heart Sutra is talking about a void, the absolute void or the relative void, is in a high profile that for us to get hardly understand. So the lower part of this paragraph is in the rather lower profile, in a progressive observations for the five skandhas that relating to the void, or by observing the 12 platforms of existence relating to the void, or by observing the 18 rims of existence relating to the void, or by observing the 12 nidanas, or called the 12 links in the chain of existence relating to the void, or by observing the 4 noble truths relating to the void. So that kind of layers in explanation is very important for us to understand that all the things are in the void of absolute awakeness, is what it is all about. So we have to make it understand first the absolute void can be divided into two perspectives. One is its nature. Void of absolute awakeness, with its nature of no creation or annihilation, no impure or pure, no increasing or decreasing. But with the other perspective is in the form of use, or we can say it as a pattern of use. Apart from the nature, the pattern of use or the form of use can be explained as when the absolute awakeness is in use of the relative void, that can induce form matters according to the karma. comma is the force of linkage of the past. So it is in a profile, in a higher profile way for us to get understand what is the absolute or relative void is all about. So Sakyamuni Buddha or Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara have to explain a bit in a lower profile way, in the progressive observations through the five skandhas. So the second part of the third paragraph, it starts with death. Within the absolute void, there is no form, no reception, no conception, no action, and no consciousness. This part of it is relating to the five skandhas. That is explained before. So, by observing a world of matter that is full of up and down, rise and falls, that food of creation or destruction, and also as well as our mind activities with many, many kinds of news and thoughts, wandering along the time. So by observing the five skandhas from the material world or from the world of mind activities, we notice that there is no lasting forever. There is no impermanency at all. One have to be dying, one have to be aging and dying. And the things around us or the people around us changing all the time. You couldn't make them stay forever around you. So it's not hard to understand the kind of impermanency or changes around us. So the five skandhas, we noticed it, is relating to the void. It is the relative void that is easily to be understood. But how about the absolute void? Without understanding the relative one, we couldn't get into the deeper level of the absolute one. So first we started in observing or immobile meditation or quiet meditation. We get to observing the five skandhas first. Before we go further to the 12 platforms of existence. There is no ear, there is no eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind. And there is no form, sound, smell, taste, touch, and idea. And there is no sight object, sound, smell, touch. Or taste organ? This paragraph or this part relating to the 12 platforms of existence. 6 organs, including our ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind, plus the other 6 external stimuli. That is the 12 platforms of existence. The other 6 kinds of mind consciousness, according to our 6 organs and 6 external stimuli, are the 6 kinds of consciousness relating to or eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, and body consciousness, and mind consciousness. So according to this second part of this third paragraph, we're talking about the 5 skandhas relating to the void, or by observing the 18 rims of existence relating to the void. So as far as I explain, the 5 skandhas is the most important start point for observations in mobile meditation or quiet meditation. Therefore, first of all, you got to know about your body. The form matters relating composed of your body or the outside world matters. So for the outside world matters, through your eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and you keep in touch with your mind. So, as far as one concern about is our mind, relating to our body feelings. So, when somebody touched the outside world, you receive or perceive a feelings from that kind of touch. Or when someone seen something, you notice something, and you got your memory in that kind of vision. So bear it in your mind. So with the mind activities, the 5 skandhas can work out. Your body now is walking along the road with your eye seeing the things along the way. But what your mind is observing or absorb the stimuli from the outside world. But with that kind of observation by your mind through the five organs, Heart Sutra is telling us they are in the void because nothing can last forever. The things around you can't exist it forever. They arise and fall. And with your mind, that enduring rise and fall accordingly to the external world. So there is no peace at all. So eventually it comes vanished. So it is not hard to understand. They are in the relative void. With that kind of insight or vision, it can help us in mobile meditation or in quiet meditation to upgrade ourselves or our mind into the absolute void. Within the absolute void, it comes with the prana. The prana paramita will help us to free ourselves from trouble or nuisance thoughts, or free ourselves from our body's suffering, to come into the final peaceful states of Nirvana. For the second practice or methods that Heart Sutra is telling us or teaching us is the body observations through the 12 platforms of existence. That is through our eyes, ear, nose, tongue, body, our mind of consciousness, we notice that the external stimuli are in a progressive vanishing weight of rising and falling. So no way in a permanency. They are in the chaos of destructing themselves and rising up again. So according to oneself of capability, one can use our eyes to observe this chaotic world. One can use their ear to listen to the ears to listen to the biased or the so-called right or wrong conception, all the things around us, or listen to the chaotic ethics or moral around us. But observing our nose to smell the stimuli that given from the outside world, we notice that our nose cannot get permanency in smelling. So once you enter into a house or enter in the room, that food of a kind of accent. But within a second or within a minute, the smell will fade away. This is the impermanency that our nose organ smell so for our tongue to taste the food or taste the water or taste what sort of fruit that entering the mouth. So according to the individual, the taste is good or bad is also relating to the culture and also relating to the time. Within this century, the people will call it, oh yes, that's nice taste. But in a different time frame, the history back to the time, that kind of taste, maybe, might call it as a yucky taste. So according to different kind of people or cultures or according to a different time frame, the definition of taste, it got different meaning. So there is no absolute a matter of taste. So it is, the taste is in the relativity according to our favorites in. So that's relating to the relative void, because nothing is lasting forever. Even for the taste of our tongue. So even for the touch, the body can feel the touch. Couldn't last forever. The feelings inside is only for a short while, and then it will vanish, subside during the time. Finally, it comes to the void. It comes to the emptiness. Even our mind cannot last in one thought forever. It comes with a second one and a third one, dragging along with the time. So bits and pieces of the mind thoughts that occupied within our mind activities. So very annoying that kind of bits and pieces of thoughts, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, dragging along. So without end. But it comes up with the first one and then down again with the first one and then comes up with a second thought and then down again with a second one and then comes up again with a third one. So that's a thought is up and down or rise and fall proceeding mind activities. So, one cycle of thoughts will come to an end. That's relating to the relative void. But that kind of relative void got flash in a second, because the second thought comes up again. So, if one can last the peace without the second thought arising up, that means when the third thought you noticed, to be eased down without the second thought to rise up. That kind of duration without a second one can be last longer and longer and longer. The more you make it longer, last it in a time, the more the peace that you can have. So how could one can have our mind set in a more peaceful way without the nuisance thoughts or at least decreasing the rise of the nuisance thoughts? That is one method that we have to use by let go of the external stimuli. So within the Heart Sutras, until come to know mind consciousness, that's including the six kinds of consciousness that compose to the 18 realms of existence, or as I explained before, the six kinds of organs plus the six kinds of external stimuli and plus with the six kinds of consciousness comes with the 18 realms of existence. That was explained before for the previous part of the third paragraph. So I got to explain a bit more about the six kinds of consciousness. For the five skandhas, the five aggregates composed it for the five skandhas. The second part of the five skandhas is the mindset, the mindset of the five skandhas, or the reception, conception, action, and consciousness. So that kind of mind activity is relating to is the six kinds of mind consciousness. What are they? They are the eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, and the six differentiate mind consciousness. What are the six differentiate mind consciousness? The six differentiate mind consciousness in Indian words is called Mano Vijnanas. The Mano Vijnana have to. Its function, to put on, to differentiate the eye consciousness. What kind of object? Seeing by the eye, by using the eye's consciousness. So forth for the rest of it. Say, for the ear, nose, and tongue. So, one, have to hear the sound through our ear consciousness by differentiating by our six differentiating nano vijnanas, or simply call it the six differentiated mind consciousness. So you got to explain a bit more about our mind consciousness are composed by six kinds. Oh, no, eight kinds. Eight kinds, that including the five kinds that I'm talking about, through the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body. That is the five kinds of consciousness. But that kind of five kinds of consciousness have to put in the differentiated way by the functions of the sixth mind consciousness. The sixth mind consciousness has the function to put on the differentiation on the five kinds, according to the sightseeing, or hearing, or nose smelling, or tongue tasting. So it is very important to put that sixth mental vijnana, or call it the sixth differentiated mind consciousness. So how about the seven kinds? It's the seventh consciousness is we call it the self consciousness, because it has the functions of realization of oneself. And the final consciousness of the eight kinds is the alaya consciousness, or alaya vijnana. Alaya vijnana is the eighth consciousness, and that is the original consciousness of the eight kinds. So the rest of the seven kinds is originate from the eighth anaya consciousness. So within the 18 realms of existence, I talked about it with the five kinds first, and then the six kinds, that is including the sixth and the seventh and the eighth, all together composed it. We call it the six kinds of consciousness. That means the last one, including three kinds. The self consciousness and the sixth differentiated consciousness and the Alaya consciousness. So I just mentioned about the 18 rims of existence relating to the void. And now it comes to explain the 12 nadins. 12 nadins, nadanas, I would say that. In Indian words, it's called 12 nadinas. And in English, it explains as 12 links in the chain of existence. So with the Heart Sutras, its content relating to the 12 nidanas. It started with the there is no ignorance, no existence of ignorance, and so forth, to the final link of existence. In no old age and death, with no existence of no old age and death. So, by observing, or start to observe through the 12 nidanas, we have to start with the ignorance first. The ignorance can be explained as chaotic weight of instinct, consciousness. That is the inherent passion from the beginner's past. Because of the past in a beginningness, the beginningness, that is a long, long time ago, that without knowing the time of starting, the time of starting in a Buddhism term, we call it the past, a known start. Because the ignorance in a chaotic way, that food of inherent passion from the past, one have to be in an activate motion to birth again. So it comes with the second stage of the 12 nidanas that relating to the karma force to activate, to birth, or to reincarnate. With the karma force of the passion from the past, it comes with the consciousness that vagarist or activated to become a life. So the mind consciousness is the second factor, or the third factors that put ourselves to reincarnate again. So the mind consciousness that I was explaining before, was the eight kinds of consciousness accordingly. But according to the other sutras, to explain a bit more about the eight kinds of consciousness that to put ourselves to reincarnate is mainly referred to the Alaya. Alaya consciousness. Alaya consciousness, it is the final or the original recorded the eighth Anaya consciousness. The eighth Anaya consciousness is the first consciousness or the original consciousness comes to life. One, it's come to life and it sacred gates, theta, or divided theta, to become the seventh self consciousness and the sixth differentiated consciousness, and then through the sacred gates again to the five kinds of consciousness that was mentioned about. So for this, the third factors or the third stages within the 12 Nidanas, one would say that the most important factors comes from the Alaya consciousness. Because the Alaya consciousness can divide it into the other or the rest of the seven kinds of consciousness, because it's originate from it to become the other seven kinds of consciousness. So it functions separately, but instead it is originate from the Alaya. So why is the 12 Nidanas is so important for us? Because the 12 Nidanas is the 12 links in the chain of existence. Why we existed in this world? The answer is coming from the 12 Nidanas. So once our ignorance come to activate it by our karma force, the Alaya consciousness will come to combine or mix it up with the form. The form, in terms of matters, that consists of matter form in terms of the placenta in the mother's womb, So within our mother's womb, the placenta growing gradually, and Indian or in the 12th Nidanas, the fourth status is called Nimarupa. Nimarupa. Rupa is relating to the mind. Nama is relating to the four matters. Four matters in terms of our womb, blood, flesh blood in the mother's womb, and together with our mind consciousness enters into the womb. That is two, mix it up to form Nama-rupa. So when the Nama-rupa grows up gradually in mother's womb, it comes to give birth for the baby from the mother's womb. So once the baby receiving the outside world stimuli, it comes with the six organs functioning. And that is the fifth stages of the 12th Nidanas.